Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everybody. This is Scott Smith and Stacey Hopkins. Y'all see how
hey.
You see how the music is all like the news and shit, like a special breaking report and shit?
Look, I thought it was like, you know, I don't know if anybody's seen Scrooge, but the movie Scrooge, but there's a commercial that kind of, I was like, oh, damn, we getting serious and shit. So,
serious and shit. But before we go in, man, if anybody just look at my Facebook page, Hillary Clinton done tried, she using Jedi mind tricks. I was watching Wild Wicked Tuna on Nat Geo. Yeah, don't judge me, okay? I like watching folks, you know, dig for gold and catch fish and all that stuff on cable. So I'm watching National Geographic. And so a Hillary Clinton commercial comes on. I'm used to the one that Morgan Freeman is doing in the background. Okay. So it goes through one loop. Then it goes through a second loop. Then I'm sitting there looking like, for real? Then 5 minutes later, I'm like, what the fuck? So I post on Facebook, for real, for real. So then I'm like, okay, I'm going to videotape this so nobody don't think I'm playing. I got 5 minutes of footage of this thing going in continuous loop. My TV just finally said, you know what? I'm done. You know how your TV does when it just turns itself off? It just turned itself off. I was so thankful. Jesus had saved me because I was starting to feel some type of way. I was starting to feel like I actually might want to vote for her. It's like I felt the darkness of the force, just that, you know, the dark side, like Darth Vader's like, Luke, I am your father. And I'm like, no, no. It was just crazy. They was doing way
I'm going to tell you off the rip, I haven't seen the commercial, but I don't know. Maybe I'm not the droid she's looking for, because everything I see in here, I'm like, nah. So,
after you get the loop for like 15 minutes, you be like, yes, I shall comply. Yes, we will make America great again by voting for you and letting Donald Trump win. And then that's what we're going to do. I mean, I felt like that. I mean, it was like I was feeling some kind of way. But y'all probably wondering, if you're a regular listener, you probably wonder, why in the hell is Scott and Stacey talking to me on a Monday night?
Yeah, that's a good question, Scout.
There's a specific reason why we're here tonight. Can all our special friends at home tell us what tomorrow is?
The zombie apocalypse. Unblackening.
No, little Julie. Let's talk to Billy. Billy, what's tomorrow?
I know. Super Tuesday. Well, what's so super about it? Why is it called? Let's talk. Why is it called Super Tuesday, Scout?
Well, you know, and I've been y'all know me. Before I'm gonna talk about something, I don't did my reading, so I actually went and looked.
Professor Smith, go ahead, Professor Smith.
I went and did some research about this primary mess that we go through here in this country. And y'all know, we only been doing this for about 100 years, you know. And again, it's a wonderful thing that we're finna say. Guess who came up with the idea for doing primaries?
Jesus?
No, progressives. Close, but not you, but no cookie. Progressives came up with the idea for doing primaries, and the reason that they did was to take the power out of the party bosses' hands and give it to the people. Wow.
And the party said, hell no, you don't.
So we came up with,
and I'd like to clarify, Jesus was a progressive.
Yes, but guess what? And then they came up with super delegates, otherwise known as unpledged delegates. That's what they're called. If you look in the, if you look in any of the Democratic Party papers and all the instructions and all the stuff that deals with the convention, they are not called super delegates. They are called unpledged delegates. But it seems like they do more pledging than the pledged delegates do. But anyway, the reason we call tomorrow Super Tuesday is because the majority of, not the majority, but a large cluster of states all hold their primary on this one Tuesday. Now, you have a staggering in the primary process so that the candidates don't have to spend all their resources in one state at one time. So we have our early states of Iowa and New Hampshire, which historically sets the tone for the rest of the race. Now, the big one, the biggest states with one of the most delegates actually is one is the last state that's going to hold its primary in California. And folks in California are pissed about that because usually everything is decided before they even get a chance to get in the game. So they just, you know, they just gravy on whoever, you know what I'm saying? It's like, fuck it, we vote for whoever everybody has been voting for. But, and there has been a lot of talk about reforming the system and doing it in a different way so that so many certain states don't have such great impact. But for some reason, all of these plans continue to allow Iowa and New Hampshire to have their special privileges of being the first two in the cycle. But the reason we're doing the show tonight, because we know tomorrow's Super Tuesday, and for Super Tuesday to mean anything to the revolution, we need people to do one thing and one thing only. We need for you, if you feel the burn, we need for you to go vote. You done called, you done knock on doors, you done been to rallies, we done felt the burn, we done burnt down social media, we done tweeted our tweets, we done put up all the dank-ass memes, we done did all the things, we done pissed off Hillary supporters to the ultimate point of pissivity. We done caused the party to have fear that we might actually do something. But the only way we can make that fear become truth is if we go vote tomorrow. We have to go vote. The revolution is now. We can talk this talk, but we got to walk that walk. I've already voted. I think you've already voted. Most of us who've been involved have voted because we wanted to be in a position that we could go out and help other folks get the message out. Now, I've been, you know, and Stacey and I've been talking to Stacey and I've talked to Anoa, and I'm doing all I can under for my circumstance. I've donated what little money I got. You know, we talked about this a little yesterday about how I don't have transportation. So I'm doing as much as I possibly can. I've made phone calls from home using the dialer. All we need to do now is go vote, people.
Well, yeah, I mean, yes and no. You do have to vote. But, see, this is the problem. People come out and vote, and they stay home. You have to vote, but you have to stay engaged. And no matter what happens tomorrow in the Super Tuesday states, whether Bernie wins or, you know, the math gets a little tighter for him tomorrow, that doesn't mean the revolution is over and that people just stop and say, oh, we're going to have to wait for another candidate to come up to rally behind. No, that's not how it works. That's not how revolutions go. I mean, the word revolution, when you talk, there's a difference between a revolution and a movement, okay? A movement goes to a particular point and stops. A revolution continues. So regardless of what happens, we have to keep this going. And, yes, voting is the first step. That's something that everyone should do. That is your card. When you vote, you have the right to complain for the next 2, 4, 6 years or whatever term that person is in for. That gives you that right to complain. You don't vote, I don't want to hear you. I don't want to hear you on social media. I don't want to hear you on email, sending emails. Can you believe this? Yes, I can. If you are, you know, one of those, well, nothing ever changes, so why bother to vote? You just fulfilled a self-defeating prophecy. You don't vote, of course you're not going to get changed. So, but if you don't keep politicians accountable by letting them know that you're watching them and what you giveth you can easily take away, that then they're more, you know, they can't do anything. The lobbyists, you know, all of this corruption, we have a part in all in this whole system of the Hydra known as the political system. And you can cut heads off with your vote. But, you know, there's a lot of nuances to this because, you know, we've got factors playing in such as you brought up the delegate system. We've got redistricting that happens. It doesn't happen every 10 years. You just ask us in Georgia. We have redistricting here in Georgia. There are so many little voter suppression things that are done. I mean, just on the news today, here we go with the whack-a-mole with moving the precincts before Election Day. If you're in Southwest Atlanta and usually vote at Young Middle School or West Manor Elementary, you are now, I forgot the name of the rec center, but there's a rec center. Your polling location has been moved. And they're telling people, well, you know, something was supposed to be sent to you, but we discovered it wasn't. So, you know, when people say your vote doesn't count, sometimes they're kind of right because of the redistricting factor. But if you don't vote, you have no voice at all. Whether you're in the majority or the minority, if you're in the minority, they know you're there. And that's one part. You know, there's a lot of moving parts to this that we have to fix. That's simply the way it is. But voting is the first step. And we've got issues. We've got a lot of issues.
And the next
and
step
Lord
after
knows,
you is to run.
Ahead.
Is to run.
If you feel so. If you feel, because it ain't
so.
For everybody.
It is not. That's taking a step that a lot of folks don't understand, and quite frankly, I've known people who jumped into the fray and decided that politics just wasn't for them. But for this to be a true revolution, we just can't be worried about voting and electing Bernie Sanders and getting him to be the nominee. Regardless of who the nominee is, we need a Congress that is more responsive than the Congress we have today. Right now, here in the state of Georgia, we're going through what we call crossover day. And crossover day is when, in our Georgia legislature, is when the bills that are in the Senate and in the House that have passed in each one of those bodies, by today, they have to cross over into the other body. If you got a House bill that's passed on that hasn't passed on the floor, it needs to pass to the Senate, and vice versa. So we got that going on. And if you're following Georgia politics right now, there's some crazy shit popping up on the damn calendar right now. I'm watching one of my friends who's a lobbyist down there, and she's putting up stuff, and it is crazy. We got gun bills, religious rights bills, food stamp bills, all kinds of stuff that's been thrown in at the last minute and people got to do something with it. Oh, we got a caller. Hold on here. Hey, welcome, caller. How are you? Well, caller, hung up on me.
Maybe they're shy.
Okay, all right then. But we have so many different things that are going on. So we need to vote. The Republicans are trying to destroy you, and all the good stuff that they could have done is dying. They killed the transportation, the MARTA expansion bill. For anybody that's not in the South right now, or who is not from Atlanta, MARTA is our transportation system. It's our massive is the it's our metro, it's our subway and bus system here in the Atlanta area. And
that's dead.
The Republican introduced that. It was actually a pretty decent bill. It died. The medical marijuana.
What that was about.
It died. Let's see what else was good. Hell, we were gonna legalize gambling in Georgia, and it died.
Let that go to an amendment to the people, which kind of smacks into when you see people throw their chest out and get that red, white, and blue erection about, constitutional rights and putting it back in the hands of the people and blah, 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 blah. And they running down there like a organized syndicate. Well, they are. But
it was all the church folk. From what I understand, this was information I got from both sides of the aisle, that it was, we have a very, very powerful entity that has a lot of lobbyists involved, and they are about as insidious as the corporation, and it's called the Southern Baptist Convention.
But they run roughshod over them because... I mean, for example, the gun bill. There's been gun safety groups who have been putting the call out for well over a week. Now, this is when I can tell you instantly when people are calling. If I can't get through on the phone, then that means people got it blown up. If I call a particular representative's office and they pick up on the second ring, y'all ain't calling. So I see a whole lot of wailing and moaning and gnashing of teeth on social media. But when it comes to actually addressing something, we sit home, we sit here, and we watch we will write some very cognizant and well-written analysis on what's wrong and who did what. But when it comes to actually doing something, we stay home. When they come after women's rights, which is about as predictable as the sun rising and setting, they do it every session because the GOP in Georgia has to deliver for their base to keep them in office, which means every end of the session, after crossover day, A, that's when the madness happens, and B, that's when you see all these social issue bills that have nothing to do with your day-to-day, chances are. Coming down the pipe, and this sucks all the air out of the room. Nothing really gets done. No, and we're talking about this instead of looking at what's actually in the damn budget, which is what they're constitutionally mandated to do. So, it's really frustrating because they're not doing the people's work. They're doing their people's work.
I mean, I said to somebody earlier today, it's guns and liberty and screw the bread and the butter. I mean, so they, and people ask me, why do we, because right now, as I counted today, there's been at least three or four different gun bills that have went through the House just today. And we like, why? We got gun bills that actually, like, replicate what the one that just came before it said. And it's like, why are there so many gun bills? Because as long as a GOP representative is talking about one gun or two something liberty, then the base is happy. Now, what kind of gets me mad from time to time is that when the Democratic base gets pissed off about something, our legislators just say, fuck y'all, my vote, do what I want to do.
Well, yeah, I had that happen to me today.
Yeah. Now, I'm not saying all of them do it. Let me get this straight. There are some good ones down there. There are some good ones down there that will make a point of every time something controversial is going to hit the ground, they are going to go talk to their constituencies. And you can pretty much see the way the constituency has addressed them is the way that they're voting. You got Deshaun Kendrick. She will vote the way the people of 93 tell her to vote. You got D. Dawkins Hagler. They will vote her direction. Doreen Carter. she would ask. Park Cannon has been asking, and she ain't been down there for 3 days. And so they asking her, and she's reacting. I mean, so you got you got Patty Bentley. You got Patty Bentley out of Taylor County, because let me get my reps, you know, reps from the rules. Bob Trammell, you know, I can go through, but these are the ones I know because, I mean, I'll kind of watch what they do and watch how they go out there and they ask questions and this, that, and the other. You know, Pam Stevenson, you know, they do what they're supposed to do. Now, some of the rest of them.
Yeah, I mean, you went down through a roll call, and most people are sitting up there going, I don't know who the hell these people are. Well, Darshan probably has the biggest ID in D, Dawkins Hagler, but, you know, out of that list, most people don't know who the hell you just said, and that's
right.
A pity.
And then, but, you know, now I can tell you if I go back down to West Georgia, where Bob Trammell is from, folks probably know who he is. If I go down to Taylor County, back down there towards south middle the southern end of middle Georgia, they know who Patty Bentley is. The folks, their constituents probably know, but in the rural, people have a tendency to know who the hell their representatives are because the community they walk around and live in their community like they the folk. You know what I'm saying? They you know, Bob Trammell's wife works at the pharmacy. So everybody knows that who he is because they go get their medicine from his wife. She's the pharmacist in town. You know what I'm saying? You know Patty Bentley. Folks in Taylor County know who she is because she owns the mortuary for the black folks. So, you know, everybody dies. And she funeralizing her family, funeralizing your family. So they know who she is. But once we get back to the metro, you have a little bit of an issue because we don't all live in the same space, which is kind of sad from time to time because representatives are supposed to be from the people and we're not occupying the same space. I mean, sometimes I felt the need that I wish I was a representative. I wish that I had the drive to run because if I did, I mean, I would be in the affluent part of my district and the poor part of my district. I will be out there on a regular basis trying to get with my people. I ain't got enough, you know, if I can go take pictures with celebrities and go to fine parties, I can go hang out with the folks in the hood. You know what I'm saying? Maybe they might vote, but then that ain't to the best interest of everybody for a whole bunch of people. And that's one of the reasons I want to talk about voting tonight because, you know, as much as our representatives and our elected officials talk about voting, sometimes for some of them, it's not in the best interest to drive up the voter turnout. Because
well, yeah, that's how you win races. The lower the race, the lower the turnout, you greatly increase your chances to win because the math favors you. You want a low turnout.
Right.
Because you have to do is organize a strong coalition of voters to bum rush the polls. And this is how it's been done for years across the country. But I think right now the mask is coming off of some of the taxes that are being used.
Yeah, you know, and we sit there, but what we need for y'all to do again is that tonight is the, you know, it's like the night before Christmas. Need you to get your rest. You know, when I was in the Navy, one of the most intense points for me was just before the invasion of Haiti in 1994. And I was on board the USS Dwight D. Eisenhower. And we were sailing, and inside on board our ship, we had a couple of thousand infantrymen from the 10th Mountain Division. And the night before we were to commence operations, we had this stirring speech from the Army and Navy chaplain, you know, talking about pass the bullets, pass the ammunition, praise Jesus. All that good stuff. We ate good that night. But then after things got calm and as I was walking amongst the ship, I seen clusters of soldiers sitting together, praying, holding hands, being very quiet. There wasn't a whole bunch of celebration. They was getting their mind right. They were getting their mind together.
They were channeling that warrior spirit. And as the morning comes, you start watching them put on that war paint. And they didn't start getting crunk up again until they started marching to the chopper. Now, luckily for them, the Haitians had surrendered by the time we landed. But I kind of feel the same way tonight. We need to get our minds together. And we need to get crunk up as we're walking out of our houses, going to our polling places.
We need to get our minds right.
Get our minds right.
Because there's a lot of folks out there that are falling for the okie doke. They read one article and they're like, "Oh, all is lost. It's over." I can't tell you some of. I've been trying to, you know, get people off the ledge since Saturday, and it's ridiculous. It really is. And if you really want this to happen, you got to do the work. And, you know, we can talk about who didn't do what and who should have did this after this is all over. Right now we got to keep our eyes on the prize. But,
and the thing,
you know,
I'm gonna be real, you know, let's be realistic. We are going to lose some states tomorrow. But this is what revolutions are about. George Washington did not win every battle in the American Revolution. Matter of fact, he lost a great many of them, a majority of them. The Union, during the Civil War, lost a majority of their battles, but you got to win the ones that matter. And so tomorrow, as long as we get a good number out of the state of Georgia, where we get some delegates, we get good numbers, and we get some good numbers out of Alabama where we get some delegates, and we win in the states where we can, we are in this game, and we're going to keep pushing. So regardless of what it turns out tomorrow, as states have been saying, we got to keep the revolution going. We got to keep it going because we know we're fed up in this country. We're fed up on both sides. This is the one thing that we can sit there and say that there is a consensus on in this country right now is that everybody is fed the hell up with the establishment. And the only people that are okay with the establishment and preaching for the establishment is the people who have benefited from the establishment. So if the establishment is feeding your family right now, yeah, you're fighting for it. But you ain't feeding mine right now, and you ain't even trying to share. So if you were trying to share, we might let you slide. But you're not trying to share. So we come to get all. And tomorrow we come to get it we come to get it at the ballot box. And I need for everybody to, like Stacey said, I need for you to stay focused. Keep about the work. Because if we do pull this off, we got to go all the way to November to fight, and it's not gonna be easy. Hey, we got all the way to November to fight anyway. It's not going to be easy, people, and we need to make sure that we stay on top of our business.
Yeah, and, you know, there are things that people can do, and there's some information I think that people need to know. We're going to talk about Georgia because we are in Georgia tomorrow. If you have not voted early, you can vote tomorrow at Election Day. Polls are open from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Now, this is important, people. If you have moved, okay, and you've moved within the same county, right, you can vote at your old precinct. If you have moved to another county and you did not re-register or change your registration by February the 1st, I can't say if you said you didn't know about it, that's probably true because it was conspicuously silent here in Georgia from the voter empowerment groups. There was practically no activity done prior to the primary elections. I don't know if that's going to come back to bite the Democrats on the ass. They seem to be popping up now. If you've registered after February 1st, you can vote in the general election, but you cannot vote in the primaries. If you have done so, you will not be able to vote. If you go down to the polls and you know you're supposed,
if you move from your, if you move counties, and
if you move within the same county,
no, I'm saying, but if you move, if you left, let's say you in the cab and you voted in, and you was registered in Fulton or Cobb or whatever, take your ass
home. Well, if
take
you didn't change over by the first, if you didn't change over by February 1st, you can't vote in the primaries.
Go home and vote. Go home. You can go home and vote.
You're gonna have you're gonna have to take a road trip tomorrow and go home and vote. But if you have a problem at the polls, and I'm going, you know, they may offer you what's called a provisional ballot. They will offer you a provisional ballot. You don't want a provisional ballot because those are the absolutely last ones to be counted, and usually the vote, the election is called before they even get to the provisional ballots. Provisional ballots are usually given when there is a question at the precinct about your voting status, and they will tell you to vote a provisional ballot. Problem with provisional ballots is whatever, they will allow you to vote that day, but your vote is not valid until you, whatever the issue is, you have to provide that proof within, I believe, 2 days. So if you don't follow up on it, your vote won't be counted. So by any means, if you're having a problem at the polls, please call Election Protection. That is an organization that is national. They have monitors that are lawyers and people who work in the legal realm. They are 24 hours usually. The number is 1-866-OUR-VOTE. You can also reach them on the web at 866OurVote.org, and they have a wealth of information for you. Head to that website, get the information you need. If you have a problem, write that number on your arm if you have to. Write it on your hand. Act like you're getting ready to cheat in class. Write it on your hand and keep it on you. If you see a problem, call it and report it. Because one of the problems is that people will get on, oh, I went to the polls and this happened to me, and, you know, they're on Facebook and talking about it. Unless it's documented, none of these groups can go in and legally defend these if we don't have cases to study. When you call and report, you give not only a case to study, if there is a pattern to be identified, it does that. So if you see, you know, this is like, you know, if you see something, say something. Call Election Protection. You see something that's not right. Do not go to the polls with your Bernie shirt on or your Hillary gear, any political gear. Do not do that. Turn your shirt inside out, wear a jacket and zip it up. Leave your hat in the car. Just don't, you know. I mean, that's ridiculous. But no campaigning, I believe, within 1,000 feet of the polls.
150 yards.
Is it 250? Okay. Well, either way.
And also, I'm going to tell you, certain places, you might even want to remove your bumper sticker.
Just go buckball naked, okay? Just go buckball naked with your ID. ID, oh, my God. This is one thing. If you haven't done it, you're going to be screwed tomorrow. Your ID and your voter registration info best to match, because if it doesn't, they're going to give you a provisional ballot.
Right.
Do not do that. But once again, y'all need to listen up and start finding out when you move, change your registration. If you go to the DMV, people you can change it online for free, once per term, and if you have any issues on your license or whatever, you won't be able to do it online. But you can change it for free online once per term at the DDS website, Department of Driver Services. So there's also that. The polls, definitely check your polling location. Now, I'm seeing something curious with Georgia's My Voter page. which is probably the portal that most people use. I keep getting, you know, usually the URL is like letters. You know, it's M, I believe it's MVP. Yes, it's mvp.sos.ga.gov. /MVP/MVP. When you click on that, and it just started today, literally today, I don't know if it means anything, but you get a set of numbers, 96.127.88.157. Well, it's redirecting you to that. I don't know if we're going to have a problem. I don't know if many people are on the system and it's going to crash. I'm not an IT expert, but if you cannot get through on the Georgia My Voter page, call your county board of elections. Step, but check before you head out, please check your polling location, because one of the things that is done, and it's done more often than people say, particularly in neighborhoods where people don't complain much about it. In Southwest Atlanta, they did it quite a bit with the runoff election they had last year. They're changing polling locations. So before you head out, check it before you go vote. But it's, you know, it's really, really, you know, difficult to try to get to impart to people the importance of getting out and voting. And for Bernie supporters and, you know, those who are repping a particular candidate, we realize the importance, but there's a segment of the population who just, they're not trying to hear that. And there are some people who are watching what's going on now who are becoming discouraged and disillusioned. And as much as I don't agree with them, I can't blame them. This is a mess. It's a hot mess. But I'm begging you, I'm urging you, I'm pleading to you to get out and vote. And, you know, today, I, of all people, probably have a very good reason to feel discouraged, you know. I had a petition to Representative John Lewis that we, myself and some folks from Panthers for Bernie, Metro Atlanta Democratic Socialists, they had, Panthers for Bernie had a petition to John Lewis urging him to vote for Bernie Sanders. Mines was concerned with the superdelegates. You know, I talked to his deputy director twice. Twice. And, you know, he knew we were coming. He knew we were coming to deliver a petition. Well, today it became a problem when the Panthers for Bernie group attempted to deliver the petition to Representative Lewis's office. They were told that the petition was of a political campaigning nature and that it would not be accepted. Not in his office, but in the lobby. Now, when I heard about that, I called the office. I spoke with Aaron Ward. Aaron and I have spoken over the years. Never had a problem. And, you know, my petition was a little different. Doesn't mention Hillary. Doesn't mention Bernie Sanders at all. All I was just asking is that on behalf of his constituents and the state of Georgia, it's actually to John Lewis and all the superdelegates. And people need to understand, superdelegates are not just representatives. They have expanded the definition of superdelegates. You have party insiders. They're given out as gifts. It's a reward for being loyal to the party, total fealty to the party. But anyway, I digress. So anyway, we were told that the petition would not be accepted at his office. They came down. I'm not sure what happened with the Panthers for Bernie petition, but I know one thing. When I came, you know, it was a bit of a confrontation in the lobby of the Equitable Building today. There is video. I'm waiting for it to come. We'll probably have it on Sunday. But at least the audio from it. But we were basically told. Now, here's the, I can't even wrap my mind around the logic behind it. Okay, first of all, he's like, well, it's a, you know, Aaron Ward's telling me, well, it's a petition and it's campaigning. Now, this is the funny part. When we came into the Equitable Building, I'm recording, right? We're told that there's no recording allowed in the building. The Equitable Building is a private building. It's privately owned. And they're telling us it's a federal building and that we can't record there, that you know, you can't use recording devices in federal buildings. Why? I don't really know, but it does exist. That's not a federal building. It's a private building within the congressman on the federal level who just happens to have an office there. He doesn't own the damn building. So while we're told we can't record, Mr. Ward comes down with an unidentified black female who's got a big ass "I'm with her" sticker on her phone. Now, he's going to tell me that he can't, the petitions are, because it's a federal, you know, since Representative Lewis is on the federal level, this is campaigning, and you know, we can't do that on this time. And this is what he told me. I will give him your petition on my private time during his private time. And I was like, what does that mean? I was like, that sounds like it's going into some sort of time-space continuum. So when is that, next March? Can you give me a date? So, and I was like, you know, there's some urgency to deliver this. So we went back and forth on he was unsure what the definition of a petition was. And then he claims he didn't know what the content of the petition was when I called. I spoke with the man twice. If he wanted to know what it was about, he could have asked, but he never asked.
Well, this is the thing that gets me, and I posted this as you was talking about this on, as you was posting on social media about this, I posted back, and it may have been after the confrontation was over with. But do any of these staffers that work for these elected officials, people understand I'm not a conservative. So what I'm about to say is not being said from this view. But there's this thing called the Constitution of the United States. And the first to the Constitution states, and I mean, we sit down, I'm fixing to read it, so everybody get this understanding, and somebody tell me if that I am wrong when I say this. Does this sound anything crazy? But the First Amendment to the Constitution of the United States said, Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging freedom of speech, or of the press, or the right of the people to peacefully assemble and to petition the government for redress of grievances. So
we brought that up. We brought that up to him repeatedly.
And the thing
we
is,
we actually brought that up.
It doesn't matter, because even if it was of a campaign nature, that is the one part that when our founding fathers wrote that they were talking about. It was being political. Political speech is the foundation of the freedom of speech. For you to be able to go to somebody and tell them, look, I disagree with you, I want you to change it, I voted for you, I'm handing you a petition. You take the smart thing would be take the petition. This is what I would do. I took the petition. Y'all would have walked out the door happy, blah, 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 blah. I would have went into the office. I would throw the shit away. But you would have never known that. But they argue with you about it and spat in the face of their constituents, basically.
Well, that's what he basically did. So then I asked Mr. Ward. I said, okay, so you're saying that because you're saying that it's a political campaigning thing and you can't accept it because federal rules, and but you can only address issues on the federal level. It was a whole bunch of pimp speak. But I had asked him, okay, so if you're saying this is that, what is the difference when Representative Lewis gets out there stumping for Hillary? Oh, well, that's personal. Now, one of the things I must mention, that on my way down to the Equitable Building, and I'm on the phone with Aaron, one of the things he told me was that y'all need to back off of John Lewis because he's y'all are trying to force him to change his personal vote. No, we're not. We were at, and had he took the time to even read the petition or allow us to read it, then he would have known what it said and what we were asking. But he was not trying to hear it. He saw us there as down to attack John Lewis. And I was very deferential in the petition. I don't mention Bernie Sanders' name at all in it. And I need to know what is the difference between him being on a stage or at an event, stumping for Hillary Clinton, promising her, promising his vote to her before we've even spoken, which goes against everything he ever fought for. He fought to fight, to defend and protect the vote, still doing it, allegedly. And we were questioning the democratic principles behind the superdelegate system because what it does is it nullifies the will of the voter. And so my argument, you know, I'm explaining to Aaron, John Lewis has a right to vote any way he wants as John Lewis. But the minute you became Representative John Lewis, you also are representing the district. Now, when he goes in that voting booth to vote, I could care less who he votes for. But when you are Representative John Lewis and you are making promises before we've even spoken, you're promising a superdelegate vote, which is a vote that is reflective of the district. When you're casting that vote, and this is a promise not made to the people, but to a politician. And you're doing it on behalf of a political party who wants to, not for democracy, but for control. So if the people elect someone that the party doesn't like, they're ready to blow it up. And he could not differentiate. I said, so how do I know when John Lewis is talking as John Lewis or when he's Representative John Lewis? Because I didn't see him come out of any piece of clothing or a hat or some sort of identifier or there's a thought bubble saying, this is John Lewis. I have no idea.
He made
clearly
no
the press was... The press wasn't able to discern the difference, so how the hell am I? But at the end of the day, what these staffers, these congressional staffers, and those who are in Congress need to understand, y'all got me and life all messed up because who you work for is us. We're your employers.
That's right.
The power that you enjoy, we gave it to you.
Thank you.
And we can take it away.
If it wasn't for the people. There would be no job if it wasn't for the people. First three words of the Constitution, I say it all the time, we the people. And then, if you know, what gets me is the Democratic Party. Understand what I'm saying this in front of the Democratic Party on many occasions. What does the Greek word demos mean? The people. The people.
Yeah, well, no, it means money now. It means money, power, and influence.
Right. And the thing is that people are tired of it. You know, like you said, you changed your status when you became Representative John Lewis. And you have heard me say it many a time. Even as we was doing, you know, shows and I was talking about candidates, I would make a disclaimer saying this is my personal choice. I'm not
Have you heard
this,
John Lewis ever say that?
Nope. But when I did come out and as from my position endorse somebody, I made a point of letting you know as the chair or as this, I endorse this person. Another time I made a disclaimer saying, you know, I like this person, this is my personal choice. Won't you look into it? This is who I'm feeling. Or I would say on behalf of the show, this is who we backing. But you got to make them disclaimers. And I know he's been in, if I only been in politics for, let's say, what, last 10 years, maybe 15 at the most, but I've only been at this level for maybe the last five, and I know this, you mean to tell me a man who has marched across the Edmund Pettus Bridge, who fought for these rights, still doesn't damn know. And if he doesn't, hey, y'all fixing to be mad. John, you need to go. Well, if you ain't picked it up yet, you need to go.
Well, you know, I was really hurt. I was first of all, let me put it in the order of emotions. The first emotion, I was furious. We talking 38 hot. Okay? So I've got that. Then I was disappointed, deeply disappointed, because, you know, and I told Aaron, I don't know if anybody's seen, and it's I occasionally use it as my Facebook cover photo, but there's a wall off of Auburn Avenue. It's right there by the Bernie campaign office. And it's a wall about John Lewis talking about we have to retain the spirit of 1776 and get out in the streets in the revolution. Make sure you, when we were out there that August, I believe it was August of 14, we were out there wilding out, fight for 15, down in Five Points. John Lewis came out, he walked all the way from, well, he walked from the Equitable Building to Five Points to come talk to us. And we were a little ragtag bunch. I don't know how they did it during the Civil Rights Movement. We have not learned how to control our sweat glands. We were sweating out there like freshly whipped slaves. And he comes up with a suit on, just looking cool and crisp as a cucumber. And he told us, you know what, sometimes in Georgia we're a little quiet, and we need to raise our voice. Everything that I did today was what that man, through his work, taught me. He's one of the many who taught me to do what I do. He's the reason why I did what I did today. And I did it in a manner that was not controversial. I was not aggressive. I was very, 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 you know, I was open to discussing it and having compromise. And then I'm told what was hurtful for me, to tell me we can't come upstairs. You know what that brought, that imagery that brought to me? When we had to use the back door to go into things. And John Lewis knows full well about that. And that was a clear diss to all of us, to tell us to go in the waiting room. I mean, I'll come down to the lobby, and then to tell me I'll give it to him when I see him on my time and on his free time, you know. And I was like, well, what the fuck does that mean, you know? And it was, and you know, when we get the video, you know, even some of the people who were with me, and I have to shout out mad love to Daniel Hanley of Metro Atlanta Democratic Socialist. There were a couple of GSU students. And Hannah, she got the video of what actually went down, and you'll see some very lovely images of that I'm with her Hillary sticker on the phone. But, you know, I was, like, trying to call to get somebody, you know, this is fucked up, what's going down here, come and help me. And you know, it ain't no love in Atlanta except those seven people who stood by me down there, and I got mad love for them for doing that, because they didn't have to. They didn't have to do that. And that's part of the beloved community. That's part of having one's back. And we don't do enough of that in this city, in this region, in this country. I ain't got nothing to do with it, or, you know, those immortal words, that's fucked up. So, you know, I was feeling some type of way for a minute when I was down there. It was an emotional moment for me, because it was like, you're going to do me like this? You know, I have defended that man when people like, we need to vote him out. No, we keeping John Lewis. We're going to do this, you know? And for people to say that, and, you know, we've all heard some of the criticisms pointed towards him over the years, and I've noticed it myself. I haven't said anything, but I'd say within the past 5 years, it used to be really easy to talk with John Lewis's office. Now you got to go through a damn gauntlet. You got to call Ruth up in Washington. You got to get a retina scan. You got to have a background check. I'm being a bit snarky and facetious here, but, you know, the access has been very, very limited, and they have cut it down quite a bit to John Lewis. He has become disconnected. He has become insulated. He has become out of touch with his constituents. And I thought I would never sit here and see the day where I would be saying these words out loud. But I ain't saying I'm coming after him, but what I'm saying right now, I can no longer help you. And if somebody comes after you, I'm just going to have to sit back and sip my tea and say, I sure hate it for you. That's the best I can do.
I remember when he went down to Occupy and they turned him away, I was mad as hell at Occupy.
Scott, I was right there. If you look at the video, Mr. Conservative, I was right there. It was me, it was Jared McKinley, and Representative Lewis. And that was the day I walked away from Occupy. I threw my signs down, told my husband, come get my ass. And I went home. And that was,
and after I saw that whole exchange, I didn't want to deal with Occupy anymore. And I don't know if this is why John's path he went, but at that particular point in time, you know, this was John Lewis. How dare you turn away John Lewis? And I don't know if this is why he's acting the way he's acting, because he is no longer being embraced by the new revolutionary class or whatever. But guess what? This is how revolutions operate. Me and you one day, if the revolution takes place and the revolution is successful, one day they will consider me and you the establishment. That's the cycle.
Yeah, they probably will. Some do now.
Yeah.
And just want people to count the number of damns they hear in my voice.
Yo, don't give a damn. Don't give a damn.
I really don't.
Because, you know, if you knew what me and Stacey go through, you would know damn well we not the damn establishment.
We ain't the establishment because we ain't posting on Facebook about us living this here lifestyle. Okay?
You don't see us living this lifestyle. We talk about
you don't see us. Right. You know, we're like MacGyver. We're just trying to put stuff together with a paper clip and a piece of chocolate. You know, I mean, and we have paid a price. I don't think people understand the price we paid. When we worked on Dr. Rad's campaign, they put it to, well, it's not like they were too fond of us to begin with. But after that, oh, hell yeah, y'all have no idea. And I think, Scout, you probably bore the brunt of it because I have never been a part of any Democratic organization. Yes, I'm a Dem voter. Been one most of my life. Supported Dem. I'm a union baby. My mother was CWA for over 40 years. My father is still a Teamster. And he's in his early 80s. So, you know, it's in my blood.
Right.
And,
I cannot say they put me out, but I can feel it. Because, I mean, folks ask me.
They put you in Siberia, dude.
Yeah, people ask me to turn my back on my candidate. Offered me money to turn my back on my candidate. I told them no. Life hadn't always been as good for me as it was back then. But
all we have to do.
We got 90 seconds left. We got 90
seconds
left.
How many minutes?
90 seconds.
All right, people. Quick message, get out the vote. Get on the computer. First thing tomorrow morning, go vote. Wherever you live, go vote. If you have a caucus, get involved for the caucus. Make sure you're there when the door is open. We've already got some ideas on how they go and some of the things that they do. Keep your eyes open. Do not be swayed. Go vote.
Go vote.
Best I can.
The revolution will not be televised. It will be in the ballot box. Y'all need to go do it.
And it won't be on Facebook or Twitter either. You'll just hear about it first. Go
right. But it will be in the streets. It's going to be at the ballot box. Go to your polling station. Go stand in the line. And that's the other thing. If you're in that line at 7 o'clock, don't let nobody tell you that you can't damn vote. You go damn vote. It is your right.
Tell them I ain't going
to
do it.
No choice. Phil Byrne, vive la revolution. We are out. Down, south, and dirty. Peace.
Peace.